If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.
And now, a presentation on the Mental Health News Radio Network. The Outer Limits of Inner Truth Radio Show.
Ryan, that is a freaking awesome question.
Yeah, great question.
You are the power,
and you do not need anybody's permission.
Great question.
You're a great interviewer. You're one of the best.
That is literally a brilliant question.
If this is the best God can do, I am not impressed.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Outer Limits of Inner Truth Radio Show, outerlimitsradio.com. I'm your host, Ryan. Before we begin tonight's program, I just want to say that the last show we did featuring our listeners has gotten so many downloads that our listeners have become full-fledged celebrities. People are chasing after their autographs. They have their own security detail. I can't even get them on the phone anymore. So please, if you haven't checked it out, listen to it. I think we're definitely going to do a follow-up show next year with more of our listeners. Our featured guest for this evening is an individual who I have the highest and deepest respect for. He's somebody whose work I discovered the same year, Stuart Wilde, and he's a metaphysical pioneer. He's been doing things back in the 70s that people at the time thought were, you know, radical, and it's mainstream right now, some of the stuff that he was doing. But this gentleman is an incredible teacher. Very honored to have him with us. Let us begin tonight's program. Welcoming back to the program is Mr. Dick Sutphin. He is one of the world's greatest metaphysical teachers. He can learn. He's also a best-selling author. He's written so many books. He has so many tapes and CDs that you can download. And I'll tell you, I'll say it again, he's had a profound positive impact on my personal development and as well as the show. You can learn more about Mr. Sutphin by going to his website at dicksutphin, SUTPHEN.com. Welcome back to the program, Mr. Sutphin. Great honor to have you with us.
Hi, Ryan. It's good to be here.
Okay.
You fit. Where are you right now?
Well, I am in North Carolina.
Oh, okay.
I escaped New York for a little while in case something crazy happens. But I'm looking for some vortexes that are near here, and that's actually one of the first questions I wanted to ask you about. People say, well, you know, I want to go near a vortex because apparently so there's places on Earth where there are energetic places that you can get an instant vibration rush, or are there places on Earth that are portals to different realities?
Well, I haven't experienced the portal to different realities, although I hear talk about that, but I know that the places on Earth where there are vortexes of energy, why, that's for sure. And boy, I am sitting right here in my office at this moment, and if I go just right around the corner, why, you can see Bell Rock. Anybody who's ever been to Sedona has been welcomed by Bell Rock when they drive into the city of Sedona. And it is an incredible energy. I think my wife and I are both addicted to the energy that we have here. So,
well, I'm just kidding. If you look at a place that has physical location on Earth, and there's a lot of horrible things that happen in that particular place, and you think that, okay, there's a lot of residual energy, a lot of negative energy. Could that negative energy actually be offset by the types of crystals that are in the ground? And the second question to that is, are there some places on Earth that are naturally going to be at a low vibrational frequency regardless of who lives there, based on the mineral component, based on what is vibrating or oscillating at the rate of whatever minerals are in the ground?
Well, Yeah, I suppose I would answer yes to all of that. I know that there's spots around Sedona, as much as Sedona is thought of as a very psychic and positive energy, where there are spooks, the djinn. There's a lot of them, but they have claimed spaces for themselves, and they don't want you and I to be intruding there. And I know that those folks are not positive towards us in any way. And so, you know, that would be energy I would want to stay very far away from. So, yeah, but maybe there's somebody else that has a very, you know, different reaction to the dark side of them. Whatever you want to call them.
You mentioned crystals having some significant power. Are there any particular crystals that you'd recommend to people where if they hang on to them, it'll protect them? And the second question is why do crystals oscillate at a certain frequency? Are crystals conscious beings that are taking the form of a mineral by chance? I mean, I'm just curious about that.
I don't think they're conscious beings, but I know they contain piezoelectricity. And if you were to, you know, I don't know exactly how you do it, but I used to have a crystal radio when I was a kid. And it was just a coil of wire wrapped around the crystal. And Edgar Casey says, now Casey advises everybody to carry a crystal on their body. You know, they can be a small crystal. My wife sells large crystals. So, but the, let's see, what's the best way to say it? There's definitely, if you follow Edgar Casey's instructions, he would have you program the crystal so that this piezoelectricity will feed a message, be a message that that you would provide or you'd like to have repeated. And if you programmed it right, you can stay in your pocket. And if you want to say you're going to experience peace, light, and love, and wealth from this moment on, or probably maybe a little bit shorter programming, why a lot of people carry those crystals doing that. I mean, I've trained, I suppose, several thousand of them who've come to my seminars out here, so, and I believe it myself. I don't carry a crystal right now in my pants pocket. But I do, if I'm on the road, if I'm away from home, why I will have a crystal in my backpack or something.
Can the crystals lose their power over the period of time?
Yeah. Yeah, they can. So most of the people that come to Sedona, they program the crystal by taking it out into the vortex area. And these are very strong energy vortexes. And just leave it there for a 2 or 3 hours. And ideally in the sunlight. And then you can take it and you hold it in your hand. And whatever phrase that you would like sent back to you, well, you just repeat it just over and over and over again. About maybe a dozen times. So, and then wherever you go, if you have it on you, you are being programmed with that phrase or a little mantra that you have programmed in your own voice into the crystal. So they need to be recharged, and especially if somebody else has touched them, or even if you have touched them, you know, just over and over in a short period of time, I like to get it reprogrammed again in Sedona. So usually, or at least a lot of people who come here, they will they'll bring a whole load of crystals, so they'll buy several of them and set to work, spending an hour or so just doing programming in the vortexes.
Stephen, many years ago when I discovered your works, I thought that you were very cutting edge and you offered a lot of insights that people weren't really going after. I just found it really unique. And you have this book called Radical Spirituality. You talk
yes.
about ways that pretty much defy and buck everything. And I loved it. And I was wondering, I want to give a couple parts about your tips. And you say one of the tips to practice radical spirituality is that, you know, never take anything personally. Your earth's purpose is to cast away your fear-based emotions. I was wondering if you could please discuss some of the other radical forms of spirituality.
All right. That's I'm going to walk over here and get a copy of the book. That's Robert Downey Jr.'s favorite book, he's told me.
Really?
He just loves radical spirituality. So, yeah, the I think it's inside the back cover. And there's nothing magical about the, I think, 69 different ways to practice radical spirituality. And if you wait just a second, I can read you some of them. Get my glasses on here. All right. Radical spirituality. Number one, your earthly purpose is to integrate your fear-based emotions. Doing so creates an absence, leaving only your God self to interact with the world. In your quest to attain the absence, you will sometimes integrate a fear and become fearful again, and then integrate the fear again. Don't be discouraged, because one step at a time, you can build a self-actualized foundation that will lead you to your goal. Number two, everything you think, say, and do creates karma, and that includes the motive, intent, and desire behind everything you think, say, and do. And some of these are they're just basic truths that I've sure integrated in my life long ago. And so even doing this and sharing with you now, you know, is good programming. Number three, karma is the basis of reality. That means you are totally responsible for everything that happens to you.
Okay, you know, I want to pause you on that one for just one second, because you said everything is a cause and effect. And one of the things we've talked about on the show before is escaping this never-ending cycle of karma. Is there anything you can do to actually break out of the karmic cycle as from a human perspective and go on to the next lifetime? Or are you bound forever in a cause and effect until you basically decide to live a life of nothing where you've got nothing else to come back here for?
Well, some people feel that that is a way to avoid having to come back, or that's a way to come back and then help humanity to rise above all the earthly based fears and all the negative programming that you've experienced over the whole lifetime you've lived, or maybe over many lifetimes, and you'd like to get rid of it. So I don't think there's any one answer for everybody, but the idea that you would be an individual who returns, and then what you do is you decide, rather than reincarnate, you stick around and you start to help humanity in whatever way would be most effective for what you wanted to do your part. And I think it's a beautiful idea, but at this point in time, I sure like being with my wife and family, and I'm not ready to do that yet, but yeah, that'd be a nice thought, you know, the idea of it.
And coming back to one of your other tips about radical spirituality is, I think it was number 11, avoid gurus and religions. They're bad for your mental health, and they want your money. So this is something I think it's going to cause some ripples.
Yeah, I'm sure that's already caused some ripples.
I guess. Sure it has. But I mean, when people are doing an organized religion, are they? Is there anything positive that can come about it? Are they going to be limited to their evolution as far as spirituality goes? I mean, because it seems like are they only going to be confined to what the religion will say that they can get to a certain point.
I'd like to think that. Is not true, but it seems very often that you're describing the way it is. So, it depends. Every religion is different, and some of the religions that I'm sure going to like better than others, I wouldn't want to even name. You know, this one's better than that one, and this one's better than that one. I think that probably more than anything else, I just advise that you pray. And that's really important. And then send the light. You know, imagine the God light and send it to those that you... you might not be getting along with. Send it and share it, and then pray. You know, if nothing else, prayer sets an intention really into your mind. And
who are you praying to when you're casting a prayer? Are you praying to God, a being that is outside of you? You're praying to God, a frequency that you're a part of? What are you doing when you're casting prayers and casting intentions for prayers?
Well, it would be to me, and I can only answer for myself and my wife, because I know we oftentimes, I can't say every single night, but we will often pray together. We use a double terminated crystal. That's a crystal, quartz crystal, and it has a point at each end. So it's a regular round crystal, about probably 3/4 inch around or thick. And we like it with the double terminated. And a lot of people use that for prayer. And I think my wife prays a little different than I do. She will pray more than I do. And she certainly can generate an effect, but she will see it more as a God light. And I know she sends that light out to a lot of people. So I'm not praying to a particular entity, although I guess I am naming God or asking for the white light. And I call in Jesus every once in a while, too, although I'm not a Christian in the classical sense. So I don't like getting stuck on the fact that this will really work and that won't work, and you should call Jesus or you should call God. You know, I know that a lot of people will call guardian angels, and boy, I've had some experiences in that area.
So what happens?
Really been
how have they been? But did the angels come to you? Were they visual? And
no, we were. I was told, in fact, a woman who's a good friend. She lives in Connecticut. She and her husband just left today. They've been with us, staying here at the house for, almost a week. And she writes a lot of books, and she writes a lot of books about angels. And she was saying, because we were needing the help of some angels, it seemed, to her. And she was saying, I suggest, Richard, Roberta, I suggest that you call in Uriel and you get to know Uriel. So, that was basically it. And so Roberta said to me one night, she said, Richard, would you like to meet Uriel? And she said, sure. Now, I didn't know what was going to happen. I am better these days because I practiced at it and practiced at it. But, I might have seen just a glow in the corner of the bedroom. Or it, may have seen part of an angel. Or, nothing is predetermined. But in this case, my wife, we were going to bed, and we sat on a bed, and we got a backboard behind or a headboard we can sit in against oftentimes if we're just sitting in bed watching TV. But this night, we both sat back and were doing a little deep breathing, and we were holding the crystal that I just mentioned. And all of a sudden, the room started to fill up with mist. And I kid you not, and we both saw it, we both experienced it, absolutely. And it started, the whole room, right at the level of the floor, and it just came up off the floor. Jeez. And the mist. And when it got to my legs, which were stretched out in front of me, why, I started to... my legs started to vibrate, like, such an intense vibration. And we both were saying something like, oh, my God. And we closed our eyes. And then Roberta was saying, Richard, he's moving behind us. And sure enough, the mist and the vibration were now all the way up my arms, and then it was felt like like Uriel had wrapped us in his wings, and it was just this wonderful sense of peace. I don't want to sound like a religious nut, but it was really a fantastic experience, probably one of the best I've ever had in the field of metaphysics. So it lasted, whole thing probably lasted only about 3-4 minutes maybe, and then the vibrational effect just began to dissipate, and I opened my eyes, and Roberta opened hers. And I don't know what we said, but it was like, oh, my God.
That's pretty amazing. Now, when that was happening, and if you were feeling and remembering back when that was happening, were you sensing at all that this angelic being could have been you from the future in a more highly evolved state? Did you sense at all that it could be an ancestor? Did you sense at all that it actually could be a visual manifestation of all the love and peace that you've been projecting into this world, taking on the form of a conscious being that surrounds you?
Possibly, man. Roberta and I, we work with so many people. And like my wife says, she will not discount anything anymore. She just trusts, and, this, I would be less inclined if only one of us had had the experience. But we both had the exact same experience at exactly the same time, sitting there holding a crystal in our hands. So, when two different people are having an absolutely similar experience, why, I give that a little more credence than I do the other. But I would never say it couldn't have been those things, because I think it certainly could. That the idea that somebody could, or we had the ability, I would imagine, to call upon all of the good things that we've experienced in life. And it could be a way of feeding that back. Or in other words, Archangel Uriel was just a reflection of, and his energy provided us the experience. Maybe somebody else would have met Uriel and had a totally different experience. And Uriel's kind of scary because, you know, Roberta and I work with Archangel Michael all the time because we do a lot of private work. And if the individual that we're working with has any entities, earthbound negative entities within their body, why, we have to clear them. So we call in Archangel Michael, and we're working with him, why, we clear the entities, and Michael sends them back into the godlight. And so, but he explains what's going to happen, and here it is. And I don't think he ever forces anybody to experience, but we've learned that when Michael is in your presence, you feel like you're surrounded with so much love, it's almost impossible to imagine it. He just has an aura of love, and he shares it. So I think that when he takes the people to the light, they really don't have much choice, because he just makes them feel so good, and people believe him. You know, they always seem to believe him. And so when it's time to go, why, it'll be the person that we're doing this form of release with, they just really can't resist saying yes, they want to go. We have had some people who haven't wanted, but almost everyone wants to leave with him. So
when they leave, are they physically, is it their darkness that's going, or are they physically going in?
It's simply going to the light is the best way that I can imagine it. I will say, all right, Michael, you know, take them to the light. And the person who's actually experiencing this, he can usually, or she can usually, see it happening. I don't ask anybody to believe, you know, that it's happening without them being able to see it, to experience it. So, didn't mean to talk with you on this.
I'm glad you went there, because, you know, I was curious about St. Michael, because I've heard a lot about Michael the Archangel, and I know that in Catholicism they talk a lot about St. Michael. He's the one that delivers people from the devil. The big. What is the difference between how Michael the Archangel is perceived in Christianity compared to how you perceive him?
Well, that would be basically the same way. Now, Uriel is, you know, one of the four or six, depending upon how you're counting. But he is, he looks over hell as well, which the idea of that is a little spooky. So that was my only hesitation. But when my wife said, well, you want to meet him, why, you know, I'll call him in and we'll see what happens. And, but that he locks, you know, he is the head of hell and controls that, even though most people would think that would be the devil. I mean, believe me, Archangel Uriel is certainly an angel in every sense of the word, as far as Roberta and I are concerned. So it would be very much the same. I would say, I don't know if I can say that for all of the angels, but my experiences with Michael and with Uriel, I certainly would.
And there's this angel that people talk about as the quote-unquote devil, which is Lucifer. And I've always wondered, I believe this or feel the same way, that that maybe there isn't a quote-unquote devil, that Lucifer is a symbol that humanity can look at all the darkness upon itself and kind of lay blame to, like Lucifer is the figure or being that humanity will say, listen, that's response. That's all the reason why there's so much evil, but it's not us. Do you think you feel that way possible? Or is there, I mean, is Lucifer actually an angel that's actually pretty good, that's just kind of bad rap?
No, I don't think, I think he's not too good.
All right.
You know, that's my... my belief after, you know, working in this field for as long as I have, the dark side exists. And boy, you know, it's better to not join that side. Better to stay on the on this side of the veil, I guarantee you.
Well, you know what? I'm glad you brought that up, because there are some – like religious institutions, they say, well, you know, you got to follow our way, do it our way in order to, you know, avoid the dark side. Well, you look at some of these religious organizations, some of the members and especially the leaders are doing some really dark things, especially with child molestation. And, you know, they're doing something that's very corrupt. And I'm like, well, why, how can that be a way to go away from the dark? And I almost feel like it's the perfect trap for the dark to get people.
Yeah, very, very likely. You got to be very careful with all this stuff. And if anything, why I feel much stronger about all of this and about the repercussions if you are not, if you decide to get involved, you're probably making a decision that's not the best decision. Sometimes we will get some people who are sending us negativity. And, boy, you know, that's a horrible thing to do to another person. Now, with my wife and I, we will use some very loving techniques and the sending of light, the God light. And so we're not going to hurt anybody. But if we are being attacked, and we've experienced that many a time, we have our own way of dealing with it. But boy, the people who are making the decision to get involved in that sort of work, I know there's white witchcraft, and that's a very different thing. But as far as the negative, the black witchcraft, boy, you are making a big mistake.
Yeah. Saying that, you know, people are involved in black witchcraft. I'm sure someone's listening and say, well, listen, I don't do black witchcraft, but I'm sure that people on occasion, I'm going to say myself included, you get upset. You yell at people because maybe they're driving you crazy or they're trying to fringe upon you. And it's just absolutely not. If you curse someone's name or if you do something to kind of block someone out, are you practicing some form of black witchcraft by doing that, even though you're not theoretically speaking going into a metaphysical practice of trying to hurt that person. But are you starting to do it? And is there a difference between intentionally trying to hurt someone because you resent them or are jealous of them, or intentionally trying to hurt someone because they're coming after you and trying to harm you and harming your family?
Well, those are two different things. I would suggest that you may do things that will help to keep them at bay, to keep them from hurting you or your family. And so that's a lot different than if they're really trying to just get you. That's a very, very different thing. And so I'd be very wary of that, but I wouldn't become involved in that at all. And so we always choose to just send them the God light, to imagine the God light, and to send it to the individual, and or ask, you know, in a prayer for those people. But don't get involved in sending them negative stuff, because you're using the excuse that it's you're doing it to protect your family. You certainly have a right to protect you and your family, but I would do it in a so much more of a positive way than to imagine a lot of the black witchcraft type of ways of dealing with it. You know, some people will say, well, I will imagine that their energy that they're sending to me, why, I imagine that it will bounce off and go to some mountain lake, and where it will dissipate harmlessly. So that would be a much better way, I think, to deal with it.
If somebody is sending you negative energy, or you're under psychic attack, are there any signs that you should be aware of, that your telltale signs that somebody is sending you negative energy? And also, this is the second part to that. Does a person who sends you negative energy, is that eventually going to come back and bite them in the ass, and are they going to get it twice as bad?
Yeah, I think so. There are certain types of dealings with that side of the veil where they say, you know, your health may go down the tubes within about 5 years if you do very much of that at all. So I would avoid it like the plague. Just to, you know, not get involved, because there are other ways. That's real. We've experienced the reality of that type of attack. And after a while, we can tell when we are being attacked. And so
how do you know if you're being attacked? Is it a feeling? I mean, could it be, but how do you know the difference between a psychic attack and just, you know, being not having enough sleep, or and being dehydrated, or having some you know, subconscious trigger for an event that maybe happened years ago? What's the difference? How do you know for sure that you are under a psychic attack?
Well, you're not going to know for absolute sure unless you have probably a very good working relationship with your spirit guide. Your spirit guide is with you from the time you were born, all your life, until you die. Your spirit guide is there. Your spirit guide will help you to remain on the path that you've come to Earth, that you want to walk. And so, you'll sense, you'll have a good sense. But sometimes you can, an attack. This was some people that were doing it purposely, and boy, there's a bunch of weird people who do this without thinking twice about it. But anyway, what I got was this poisoning. It was like, I can't think of the type of poisoning. It was finally my wife, I was trying to teach a seminar and I could hardly even think by the time it was the end of the day. And, my wife said, I'm taking you to the hospital. And we got into the hospital and they did, some tests immediately and found that I was the heavy duty one. But they said, well, you've got, you know, your body is poisoned right now. And it could be that it wasn't an attack, but we found out shortly after that there was little doubt that it was anything but a psychic attack. So as a result, you know, they said that you could have died within about an hour if your wife hadn't brought you in here. So I don't think people can interfere with your chart. You know, they're not – I probably – something would have happened to cause me to have to go into the hospital if that's what it was going to take. So I don't know that I was going to in danger of dying. I hope not. But that's a typical way that you could, somebody could send something. And, you know, my wife and I, we eat the same foods. She didn't have anything like this in her body, and it had been for about 3 days. It had been building up in there and getting worse and getting worse, and until I was really, I couldn't hardly bend over, and I couldn't teach anymore. So you get to know when it's time, or if you have somebody that is... they're not happy with you, or they might be attacking you. And psychic attack is very, very real. So, you know, that you get to know and feel, but you're gonna have to probably go through it quite a few times before you get to recognize it. So.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a good enough explanation. I know with the gal that was just here with us this week at our house, this ended up being a one evening we started talking about any new cases that we'd experienced or the woman had experienced. And, you know, they... even if you've done a whole lot of work in the field, why you can still get caught up in this. And I know that with Rosemary, I'm talking about the woman's name is Rosemary Ellen Guiley.
Yep, we had her on our show about 2 months ago.
Oh, well, good, good. I probably had talked about her before. You just did it. You found her and...
Yep, we found her. It's kind of weird. It came in. Hey, there you go. That's something positive. Awesome. She's very, very sweet. Yeah.
Yeah, she's wonderful. And she's the one who was on the case where I was being poisoned as such.
Wow.
You know, not purposely, but, you know, the type of blood poisoning you can get, like salmonella or blood poisonings like that. Why she had recognized, she said, you got to go to the hospital, because she was doing a training with me here in Sedona. And so that's how I ended up taking it seriously. My wife and she went, demanded I go. It was all there was to it. I had no choice. But she's written, now Rosemary has written a lot of books, And boy, she's got some books that are not for the faint of heart, but for anyone in the helping services field to have that knowledge, why, it would really be a value to read them.
Well, let's take the opposite road. Say, for example, you want to send a lot of peace to someone and you want to accelerate and magnify the peace that you are projecting upon that person. What would you say would be maybe two or three light enhancements to magnify the power of your prayers toward that person?
All right. Well, I would visualize the person very, very vividly, to the full degree that I was able to do it, Ryan. I would see them in my mind. I would try to explore how they look, how they feel if they're around you at a time. I would try to imagine how they speak. And then I would send the God light. I would manifest the God light in my own body, which would be a matter of seeing this light filling up my body. And then I would release it. I would, you know, send it out. And as a result, why I would then I pray for them too. I would pray and hope that they receive the prayer, and I would ask them to feel the type of peace that I was projecting. So that would be the most direct way of sending the God light to someone else, having them receive it, and very likely maybe even recognize that you were the sender. So you might get a phone call from them a half hour afterward, and they would say, well, I was just thinking about you, or I had these warm thoughts about you, and so on. Oftentimes, that does happen.
You know, no, I think it's great. That's really great, because now people can learn to magnify that. Yourself, and you've worked with hundreds, maybe thousands of people over the course of your life and helping them to heal, helping them to grow. I'm curious, what do you notice anything similar compared to the people who you've been working with, say, 10 years ago compared to right now? Are there common similarities in terms of problems that people are facing? Because I'm wondering if the vibration of the earth or humanity's advancement in technology, maybe for the good or to the detriment, have had an impact on some of the problems that people are experiencing right now. I didn't know what your thoughts were about that.
Yeah, well, I have. There's no doubt that I have experienced that. People seem to be very troubled at this time. And an awful lot of people are feeling that they are really going through challenges, real challenges. And so I would say that. I would say that there are people who now, who at this point in time, that have no patience. There's I sometimes think in terms of the individuals, like they talk about the millennials and different types of people at this time. So oftentimes it seems that it fits into that category. But boy, people are angrier, and they're unwilling to take no. I've got a sense that there's an awful lot of people who feel entitled at this point in time, like the world owes something to them. And so they're expecting you to fulfill it. A lot of people are expecting you to fulfill the things that that they want. Like you automatically owe it to them. And I don't know if this is what you're talking about primarily.
Yeah, it is what I'm talking about. I'm saying that there's a difference between some of the problems that people are facing now that we were facing 10 years ago. One thing I remember reading about, something you'd written, was that when people experience suffering, it is a spark for change, or it could be a spark for them to engulf and develop more wisdom. In today's society, do you think that a national or global catastrophe could actually be something in the long term that would be great for humanity, because maybe it would force humanity to rethink a lot of the principles they've been focusing on for so long that maybe have seemed to put people at a much more sad position than they are?
Yes. Yes, I do. I think it very well could be. And I don't have specific cases that I would could give you right now, but I think that that's very much a possibility, that people don't recognize the situation for what it is. In other words, any bad situation has got possibly a good situation behind that. And so there's some stories, metaphysical stories, about what has happened as a result. And I wish I had some of them right here to tell, but I don't right at the at this point in time. So
you experience in working with some of the energies, I know that it's probably difficult to make predictions because I'm sure the energy of the Earth is constantly changing, but if you're looking right now at the trajectory of humanity to where things are going, do you ever get a sense of an idea of where humanity is heading in this phase? Do you think that humanity could be on the verge of some dramatic change, either in the form of having this nationwide or worldwide realization that we are not alone in the universe, that we're going to come in contact with some other civilization, or we're going to experience some kind of economic tragedy that knocks things down? We've talked a lot about that on our show before. But I'm just looking to see if there's any specific type of event or event on the horizon that we should be aware of or should be preparing for.
Well, no, I can't say that there's anything specific, although at different times I felt there were. I felt that we were coming into a time when there probably we were going to be dealing with a lot of natural catastrophe. Now I'm much more concerned with all of the things that are going on, the migrant stuff, the uprisings that appear all over the world at this time. So I can't say that I can foresee anything in particular, but I think it's a very dangerous time that we are in. I think that things have changed a little bit where it's safer now. And as a result of some of the election things that have happened and so on, I feel we're a little bit more stable. I hope that ends up being the case. So I don't know. I'd sure like it to be a little bit calmer, wouldn't you?
Yes, absolutely. Seth, we only have time for two more questions. One of the things I've always told people about, I love telling people about, is your fantastic self-hypnosis CDs and tracks people can listen to at night. I've told them how powerful and how effective they are. I've downloaded some of them. And from your perspective, why does subconscious programming work when a person is sleeping? And do you find that a person has to believe in you or have faith in you before they have faith in the idea of what you're going to convey, or they need to have faith or the hope that what you're going to convey on one of these CDs, such as weight loss, such as better health, do they have to have faith in that first?
Well, they don't have to have – I always tell people that you don't have to believe in hypnosis or self-hypnosis for it to work. All you have to do is to be willing to listen to the program. And I still believe that, Ryan, I really do. The fact that you are willing to, of course, you can do it in person with a hypnotist. Nowadays, I have so many different programs. We have actually about 900 different programs. So that I've got programs for most things. And it's not that I can't come up with more, because the minute I relax my mind, I start thinking of other programs that could help people. But if you are willing to listen to programming, that you'll listen to it every day, maybe in the morning, maybe at night, maybe twice a day, three times a day if you want, it will work given time. And the suggestions have to be phrased in a positive way. So, you know, it's very important how the suggestions are worded. But with that in mind, if you are willing to listen to whatever they are, whether it's weight loss or you've broken up with somebody and, you know, the suggestions suggest that you get over it and handle it and tell you to feel calm down and relaxed and at ease, and new opportunities are going to come into your life, and, you know, positive suggestions along that line, they will definitely work. There's no doubt about it. And there's no magic about my voice. I think it's, you know, I've studied this for most of my life. And so I know that I've phrased them right. And I know that I try to project a warmth and musical sounds, which are really hypnotic music, just very relaxing sounds. And they work. They really work. And they would work for, I feel, anybody that believed them and wanted them to happen. You have to want the thing to happen. You have to believe that you are going to manifested in your life, but that you've set the intention in effect, and you're now willing to work on it and bring it into your life. It's very much the same thing as praying. You know, that's certainly a positive way to go about the same thing, but you have to have patience and you have to be willing to do it. And well, I know my wife does it, and it's amazing sometimes what doesn't seem like we're going to be able to solve, and we turn around, and it's just magic. It's just manifests in our life. So that's a very short version.
If you think of all of the pieces of wisdom that you've bestowed upon humanity in the entire course of your life, what would you say would be the one quote that you think is probably the most spiritually provocative or the most powerful?
Oh boy.
We'll say three. You can have up to three. I don't want you to feel the pressure.
I know. I say I've got so many, Ryan, that I wonder, well, wisdom erases karma is certainly one of my favorite sayings. And so I probably just leave it with that. because wisdom, if you learn through wisdom, you can solve the problem, a karmic problem, something that you have programmed maybe for lifetimes. But wisdom could be the going in and exploring in your mind, finding the cause that's behind this, and then if you're at fault, why asking for forgiveness. So wisdom erases karma, I think, would be my very favorite.
Mr. Dick Shuffin, legendary metaphysical teacher, great, great teacher. Learn more about Mr. Shuffin by going to his website at dickshuffin.com. Mr. Shuffin's also a great author. He's one of the most influential teachers I've ever had the pleasure of speaking with. And I have to tell you, to speak with Mr. Shuffin right now, I mean, even though we've talked to him three or four different times, it's always surreal. I still can't believe it. Mr. Shuffin,
hey,
thank
buddy,
you so
it's
much.
It's really fun. I always look forward to when you and I are going to do a gathering like
yeah.
this.
<That's>,
I really do.
Great.
So anyway,
much.
Until next time, okay?
Got it.
Okay, everyone, that concludes today's edition of the Out of Limits of Inner Truth Radio Show. Special thanks to dearly beloved friend and teacher, Mr. Dick Shuffin. And special thanks, as always, to the Out of Limits of Inner Truth Radio Show Virtues, Ms. Carrie O'Connor, Ms. Lisa Kaza, and Ms. Constance Dallas. To learn more about the Out of Limits of Inner Truth Radio Show, please go to our website at outerlimitsradio.com. Until the next time we meet, my friends, I wish upon you an abundance of peace, love, and beers. Take good care, and thank you so much for listening.